Okay, so I think we are recording. So welcome to the podcast. And thank you for coming. So this is Zach. Zach, how old are you now?
8.
You're 8. I thought it was 8. I wasn't sure. So just so that people know, I interviewed Zach when he was 7. And we had this amazing conversation that went on for, it was a good couple of hours. And I have never forgotten that, and you taught me so much, Zach.
Okay.
And I thought it's about time that other people could learn as well. So, because I remember when I talked to you trying to explain why I wanted to talk to you, it's because adults have forgotten so many things, and so we need help to remember. And children just understand about creating and living so much better than we do. So, and I also want to say that I've seen or I've heard of a lot of interviews with children, and they're always done and they're always made very cute. You know, it's a really cute, and the adults can look and laugh and smile and go, how cute that is. And you don't really see them looking at the talking with the child as an ability to learn a whole lot. So that's what this is today. This is me seeking to learn from you, Zach, because you really did teach me so much last time.
Okay.
So we'll get right into it. So we talked about play and creativity a lot last time. So I thought I've got a few questions written down here. And I think I'll ask you about fun, okay? Can you tell me why fun is so important? It is important, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, fun is important because, well, it makes life a whole lot happier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have fun, well, it's very boring. And
what?
So...
What do you consider fun? What is fun to you? What's it like?
Well, so what's fun to me is I like the best. So I like building Lego, which is creative.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's hard to put things into words, eh? It's really hard to take something that you just know is so good but then to turn it into words so that other people can understand. When I came to see you and I was asking you how important is creativity, and I said to you, okay, say compared to breathing and eating and sleeping and drinking, and then you take creating, how important is it? And you said, yes, it's as important as that. And then afterwards, when I talked to your mum, she said, well, sometimes you don't even want to come and eat because you're too busy making something.
Yes.
And so it was like, in that sense, creating or playing is more important than eating.
Well, yes.
Can you explain how that can be? Adults would say, oh, he's just playing. That's what we will say. We will say he's just playing. And so we have forgotten, and it will seem so crazy to you that it's possible, but we have forgotten why that matters so much. We it's like we've got amnesia. We don't remember. Do you remember I asked you and I'll ask you again, what would life be like if you couldn't have fun, if you couldn't play, if you couldn't create?
Yeah. That would be, well, we just wouldn't be humans, because that's, you have to go through a stage of there's stages. So if you didn't have fun, it would be very boring, and you wouldn't really want to, you wouldn't do anything, so you just lie down and do nothing all day. And so if you did nothing all day, just, well, nothing.
Wow. You know, that's how a lot of adults kind of live their life. They do kind of do nothing all day. They maybe they'll go to work or they'll, but it's nothing really. You know, it doesn't mean anything to them. They don't like it. It's not special. Yeah, a lot of people actually, a lot of grown-ups, that's how their life is. So, I want to try and get more into it if we can. So I hear what you're saying, okay? I hear. So you're saying that fun, creating play makes us human. That's a huge thing to say. Because if you look at grown-up experts and people, they will tell you that, you know, being maybe a hero or doing some amazing, great thing, you know, saving lots of people or sacrificing your life for someone else, that's what makes you human. But you're saying having fun makes you human.
Well, if you sacrifice your life for someone, that's part of being human. And if you call that fun, then that's what you like to do. So whoever that guy was, he obviously is talking the truth, but he's just saying that's what they think is fun. Sacrificing your life for saving a human is fun.
So, are you saying then that whatever it is that people do, that is their fun?
Whatever it is that people think that's fun is fun.
So, I wonder maybe when adults they change the meaning of fun. When you're a child, you understand what fun is in your whole heart.
Yes.
But adults maybe have changed the meaning. You know, fun might be sacrifice, or fun might be. No, help me out here. I'm losing it.
Fun might be sitting around all day, doing nothing, sorting out bills and doing work on the
So
computer.
that could be somebody's fun. Is it because then fun is the thing that you're most interested in, the thing you give most of your time to? Would it be something like that?
Yes.
Ah. Okay. So, in that sense, for you, the thing that you're most interested in is play and creating. That, am I right? But what does that do? Because, I mean, it doesn't change the world, it doesn't make it a better place, it doesn't. Why would that be so important when it's not, you know, it's not making money?
Well,
Why?
it makes it more fun for you. Well, for whoever is doing it.
And why does that matter? Because again, as adults, we so often think, well, it doesn't matter if we feel good, as long as we're helping maybe other people feel good, or as long as we're doing what's right. You're saying that as long as you are enjoying yourself, that's kind of the main thing in a way. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, I don't mean it's the main thing, it's just part of life. It's part of what you do.
Okay. What are the other parts of things that you do? What are the other things?
Well, learning, helping people, and I do work,
Do you
doing
mind doing
dishes.
work?
Yeah, I don't mind.
You don't mind? You don't mind. Okay. I was gonna ask you, how much time then? Okay, as far as play and creating goes, say you've got a day, you've got one day. How much of that day, sort of, without being, can't be too specific, do you think needs to be, how much of that day needs to be used for play?
I'd say about a quarter, half. And that's pretty different, but.
Sure. Okay. And so what would you say? Okay, so you've got that amount of time during your day that you have for play or creating. What would you do in the rest of the time then? How would you sort of, just roughly, just to give us an idea?
So, I would do this thing. I would do maybe work if I had to, take a nap.
You would take a nap, would you? Do you take naps, or do you not take a nap?
Maybe run.
Yeah.
Wash a car. Set up a stand. And if it's in the weekdays, go to school. Yeah.
Okay. But would you? So I'm trying to grasp this. The fun and the creative, because it matters so much, but it's really often hard to. It's kind of like we'll do that last. We'll do all the work we have to do, and then we'll, if there's a little bit of time left over, we will use that for creating something or for play. So we'll do lots of hard work first, and then we'll play. If you had to, in your day, there was play that you had to do and there was work and other things, would you do the play first? How would you do that?
I would probably do the work first.
Uh-huh.
Well, so why I'd do the work first, because if you have extra time, I'm not saying that's good, but if you have extra time to do it, yeah, I would play. But if I had to do as lots of work, I would probably do it and keep a bit of time to play.
Mm-hmm.
But then so I'd do the work that I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would play the rest of the day.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to ask you to with play, there's like play with your friends and then there's play by yourself. And they're quite different, really, aren't they? Because it's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of how much sort of time do you put into playing with your friends or playing by yourself? Do you need both? You need both of those. Am I right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as children, it's the time that you actually have got with them. Say you're not going anywhere or doing anything and you just stay at home for a while or go somewhere, but not with any of your friends or anybody, then you've really got no choice but to just play with yourself or do stuff like that.
But do you like playing on your own? Do you like... That's fun too, isn't it? Because it's different. That's when you can do your Lego. Do you normally do your Lego on your own? Play your Lego on your own?
Well, I normally do it, but I sometimes do it with my friend.
Uh-huh. I'm just trying to... I'm trying to think back to some of the other things that we talked about last time. So, you have all these different... you do need time alone, don't you, and quiet time by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And see, as an adult, often that's seen as like a bad thing to be, if you want to be on your own and be quiet. People often think there's something wrong with you, you know. But it's actually really relaxing and enjoyable, and you can be so creative in your head, can't you?
Yeah. Sometimes you need to stay by yourself.
Why is that?
Well, say you played with everybody all the time. You would want some time out by yourself. Because inside you feel, oh, I'm really tired of playing with this person. I want to I would want to play by myself a bit more. And you'd have to think of what to play. So if you played by yourself all the time, well, not by yourself, but with somebody else all the time, it would get a bit boring. Like, that's why, us as kids, we would want to, we would want to do new things.
Mm-hmm.
And, some things that we really like to do, we wouldn't want anything new with that. Well, we wouldn't want to not do that anymore. But, when you're adult, when you get to the adult, when, you start to, put play off.
Yeah, that, yeah, you know, we really do, and I think we miss it so much, but we don't understand how much we miss it. We don't, and we don't understand because we've been told that it doesn't matter. You know, the word play is something for children. That's what we're told. It's just for children, and that's why I came to talk to you last time, why I want to talk to you again, because play is actually... I don't remember properly what play is. You know, it's like I half remember. I remember that it matters so much, but I can't quite remember why. And that's why I feel like you have to talk to a child because they haven't forgotten. It's so alive for them.
Yeah.
It's like it's something alive, isn't it? It's like a thing. If I remember, it's like a thing. It's something alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a friend as well, isn't it? Play. It's like a friend.
Mm-hmm. So with play, you've probably forgot it because you've got so many other things to do when you're an adult. So when you're a teenager, you still kind of remember play, but you don't do it most of the times. But you get part-time jobs and stuff. But you get too much stuck into money that you don't know what to do. Well, you don't play anymore. You're too busy with money and getting all the bills and stuff. So, yeah.
I think that's a really big part of it, and you said it really well. We get so into money, even if we don't want to. It just kind of takes over.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be very nice when you, and I've heard people say, oh, when I've tried to explain, you know, about play and how children see things or do things, and then their answer is, well, they don't have to pay any bills. They don't have to worry about that, so it's easy for them, you know? And they, it's so frustrating because it's so hard trying to remember. It's very hard trying to put this into words because I know it's so important, but I've also forgotten. So can you tell me more about, ask the people who are listening more about play, why, what it does for you, why it matters? Is there other things that you can say to help us remember?
Well, money isn't everything of well, the whole point of life. So
how do you know that, Zach? How do you know money's not everything?
Well, because us as kids, we don't actually need money. We could just go along and play something, use our imagination, but we don't need money because we've got parents and
yes,
they pay all the bills that
So can you see what happens here? People will say, you see there, it proves you don't have to worry about money because the adults are worrying about money. Therefore, yeah. You know, whatever you're saying, play, it's just for children. It doesn't really matter. It's not really important. And then they'll come back because it's not earning any money. And they go around in this circle and they lose the point of life.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry, I interrupted you. So go on about what play does for you. How does it make you feel? I remember, you feel so alive, don't you?
Yeah.
And how many ideas do you have when you're playing? How many new ideas do you come up with?
Well, usually you're thinking up one. So this probably doesn't make much sense, but half an idea.
Okay. So would you say that the best way or a really good way to come up with ideas is by playing?
Yes.
And because if we don't have new ideas, then everything stays the same. And all your games would stay the same and nothing would change. So and in the world, nothing would change if we don't have ideas, because those are what change things. So now we can see something in a different way, or we try something else out. That's how inventions come, through new ideas. It seems to me then that play is one of the very best ways to create new ideas.
Yep.
So that would make the future of the world must have play in order to have to create new ideas.
Yes. So
okay, so still okay, something else I want to ask you about was with play, you both build things, but you also, it's very important that you break them apart, isn't that right?
Yes.
Like with, so, yeah, go on.
Well, so with creations, so say you're a scientist, which you're this, the iPad was, well, iPhone was just new, you wanted to, it was starting to get, a bit more, iPad, it was starting to get a bit boring, so you wanted to make another one. You'd have to pull it apart and see what you could make better. And yeah, so cool. You could put Wi-Fi in it for free on there. You could call people halfway across the world, or what you probably can do with it. Yeah.
Okay. So all right. So that's the kind of thing the adults could do. But if we go back into say in your world, let's say with Lego,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're building something with Lego and you've made this an amazing thing, but then it's also just as easy for you, isn't it, to break it up and make something new?
Yes. So you build it and then you've had it for a long time. You start to get a bit bored of it. You break it up and restart and build something new.
Yeah, and it's no... You don't feel guilty about breaking it apart. It's just you've built it, you created it, you've played with it, and now you let it go. You just pull it apart and make something new.
Yeah.
See, there's something in the adult world which we tend to do is which we make something and then we just hold it forever. We're so afraid to break it apart and make something new. We think that if we had to break it apart, it would be broken. We don't see that. No, you're just going to make something else with it. And I think we get so stuck with things. But I admit, you know, as children, that it's no problem. You build this just to keep it for a while, and then you just break it apart. And maybe even in breaking it apart, you think, oh, those bits look good together. I could make this. So
yeah.
I just wanted to say, I think that like when you breaking things apart is very important. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Well, it's important because, this is, say you build, loads of things with your Lego and you have no more pieces of Lego, just a few pieces and you can't build anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you would want to, break it apart. You would feel very tempted to break it apart. So that's what you would do. But with us children, Say we've only got one bit of something, we build something, and then we want to build something else with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we could improve it, and we could also build something else new and bigger and better with it.
That's a very important point, which I think a lot of people don't get as well, is that you've got something you like and it's really good, but you see, well, maybe I could improve it and make it even better.
Yeah.
Because we tend to think when we grow up that you've got something that's good, so it's good, so why would you change it? Because it's good. And the only reason that we change it is because if it turns bad, say it gets broken. But you don't have that. You do that constantly. Oh, I could make this even better. And then when you've made that, well, I could make this even better. Or actually, I'm just going to tear this all apart and make something completely new. I think that's one of the reasons why children are so healthy and so so clever, because they're not afraid to break things apart. Mm-hmm. And it's also a lot of fun to break things apart, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually one of the main things about Lego, breaking it apart and building something new.
Mm-hmm.
What I've learned of my many years of building Lego, that's one of the most important parts of building Lego and having fun with it.
Wow. So, you know, I think this could be, that's maybe how we should also, as adults, look at life. That we're meant to break it apart every so often to make something new. Would you say you do that not just with Lego, but in other areas of your life? Do you maybe do that with games with your friends, where you will just after a while change it?
Yes. So, say you're on the playground playing, and you've played this game for a while, so you want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So you add something like completely new to it.
Mm-hmm.
I made a new game up once, and it's called Bomb the Monkey. Because I was getting, what to do, so I just came up with a random game, put it together, and it was Bomb the Monkey. You had one person standing down that's in, and then lots of people in a tree or on something.
Mm-hmm.
High. So then the person with that's in has the ball and tries to chuck it at the people
right.
in the place, and they can move around. And then if the person on the ground gets them, then they're in and they have to get the ball.
Oh, sounds like fun. Sounds like fun. Okay, that actually makes me think of something else I want to ask you. Because, like, kids are always moving all the time. So you're very physical in terms of whether you're running or playing or jumping. How important is that? Because, again, I'll just explain. As adults, we do tend to sit around so much, like we just sit and watch TV, or if you're at work, you've got to sit and do your job, or for so much of the time, we don't move our bodies very much. I remember as a child, you know, just always doing something, and I wanted to ask you about that and how good that feels, or to remind us about that.
Well, so as adults, you sometimes have to do it, but you don't really have to do it. But you can't just say you wanted to quit your job for 2 years. Or 2 months or something. You just feel alive. You feel in the world. You feel so creative.
So I like that you say you're feeling alive. That's what you get when you are when you're moving around, when you're, you know, like moving your body. That's kind of what it feels for you.
Yep.
Because I remember, it was a while ago now, but you know what a flying fox is, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, for people who don't, it's because they call them different names in different places. It's like a pulley that you is on a wheel, on a wire, and you sort of hold onto it and it takes you across wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
Anyway, I remember going, there was a playground that had a flying fox. I just love them. And I jumped on it and I was whizzing down this flying fox. And all of a sudden, just inside me, I just, these words, this feeling, it was going, I'm alive, I'm alive. It felt so good. And every time I've remembered since then, I remember that when I'm moving, when my body is moving, I feel so alive.
Yep.
And, you know, you look at children, they never stop moving, really, or so often they just, I mean, what is it? Is that like life just saying, I've got to move, I've got to do something? Is that just life coming out of you?
Yes, because we move around a lot, we just want to do it more because it's so fun.
So, okay, so what you're saying is moving is fun, is that right?
Yeah.
Can you explain that anymore? Can you tell us like how it feels for you?
Well, when I'm running, it's just playing tag. It's just like, oh, where's the tag? Where's the tag? I must run away. And then you spot him suddenly, and you just run, and your heart beats a lot, and you just feel like alive, as I said before.
Yeah, very hard to put into words, but that you said it really well. Okay, now there's another side of it that I want to ask you as well, though, because there's also times when you can be very still.
Yeah.
There's also times when you're just, say, maybe playing with your Lego, with the minimum of movement.
Let's say the minimum of movement.
Maybe you're reading a book, but also, you know, when you don't have, so there's also times when you can be still and still be, you're still being so alive. Am I right there?
Yeah. That isn't moving, as you know. That's just feeling it inside you. So you're telling jokes to friends and stuff and laughing. Say you've gone to camp and tell jokes and stuff. You just feel really good. That you're telling jokes and you laugh, and laughing is fun too.
Okay, so that's more like you get maybe into your the emotions inside, and maybe when you're moving, it's like pushing the emotions outside. They kind of just, there's so much of them, they kind of just have to come out of you, like explode out of you.
Yeah.
But other times you've got the emotions that are, the ones that are quiet are the ones that are more inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then there's something else I want to ask you. I wanted to ask you about emotions. Do you understand what emotions, when I talk about emotions?
Yeah.
So you, there can be like happiness or sadness or anger or could be rage. There could be so many different ones, okay? Now, what I want to ask you is, how do you feel about emotions? Like, do they scare you? Do they worry you?
They don't worry me. Sometimes they do. There's guiltiness I haven't really felt that, but that really would have worried me.
Okay. Now, why haven't you felt guiltiness?
Well,
do you know what it is? Do you know what guilt is? Do you understand it?
Yes.
Explain what it means to you.
Well, it's when you've done something really bad and you feel that you don't want to say you stole somebody's favorite toy. And then they were like, oh, where's it gone? Where's it gone? And then you've got it and you say, oh, I feel really guilty. And you don't know what to do. Because if you admit it, you might think that you might think that they'll get really angry with you. Mm-hmm. And say it's your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they might get really angry with you.
Okay. All right then, so you've grasped that. So, okay. It's better maybe if I explain why I'm asking you. So with adults, there's adults often have really big problems with emotions. There's lots of emotions that they are so afraid of, they don't want to feel. So they let themselves have a few emotions, but anything else, they run away from, or they hide from, or they pretend it's not there, or they do lots of things. Whereas, like, I know, like your sister, for instance, because she's much younger than you, she will do all her emotions without any problem. She will be angry or happy or everything in between, no problem. She doesn't care if it bothers anybody else, right? So she does them really freely. And then as you get older and older, there's more and more rules about what's okay, what's not okay. With adults often, it's like they're kind of stuck. They're allowed to do a few emotions, but not many. And they kind of have been made afraid of quite a lot of them. So, but you're in the middle. You're older than your sister, but you're much younger than us. And so I'm wondering how emotions are for you. You have them, and some of them don't feel nice, right? Mm-hmm. Some feel good and some don't feel good, and then there's other ones as well. But say anger.
Yeah.
What's anger like for you? Are you okay doing anger? Are you okay if you feel angry? Does that feel right for you to be angry? Don't feel guilty about it, or?
I don't really feel guilty about it, but I don't like to show it because, say your friend didn't know any rules of the game and then they kept on not doing everything right, which sometimes happens with my sister with really complicated games.
Mm-hmm.
If you show you're really angry, then they'll like feel kind of sad because they won't know how to do it, so you can't explain to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get really frustrated, and then that makes you angry, but you don't want to show it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're trying to look after her. But in yourself, say you've got that emotion, you are angry. What do you do with it? Do you find another way to get it out of yourself that doesn't hurt anybody? Or do you try to... Go on.
Think the good parts of it. And think good thoughts, and then you basically drown it in good thoughts and good emotions and stuff.
And how would you do that, say, with your sister? So you're really angry because she's not playing the game the way, she's not getting the roles, and she's really irritating you, and you have got angry. So how do you, so what do you do with that then? How would you do that?
Well, I'd change the game.
Oh, I like that. That's great. That's brilliant.
And that's like pulling it apart.
Okay, so I love that. I was talking to my son, who's nearly 19 now, because I used to talk to him, and I still do actually, but I used to talk to him the way I'm talking to you. That's why I know to talk to you, because I originally talked to him when he was much younger, and I learned how wise children are. So that's kind of one of the things that he was saying too, is that, yeah, you can just change the rules. You don't have to force yourself to be a different way. You can say, yes, I feel this way. So you change something else. You know, we don't think like that, adults, a lot of the time. We so kind of get so stiff. We think instead we're getting angrier and angrier, and we're trying not to be angry, and we try and force it down instead of saying, well, okay, I feel angry, so something needs to change. And then, like you say, so we'll just change the rules, change something else.
Yeah.
And okay, so then I would come back and say, if I can ask it right, it's like, how do you know to do that? Okay, so what I'm trying to say here is that as adults, we might just get angrier and angrier and go off and just stomp our feet and go off or do something silly because we feel so stuck. How is it then that you understood, if I can make sense of this, to change the game? I mean, now that you've said it, it's so obvious, but if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't probably have thought of that. What I'm trying to ask is that, is it because feeling good and having fun matters so much that you know to kind of adjust according to that? So you're feeling angry, but on top of the anger, you have this understanding that it really matters that you have fun and you play. Therefore, how can I change this? Because what really matters is having fun and playing. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yep. So with adults, say you're in a meeting. Oh, this isn't about us, but with adults, say you're in a meeting. And then somebody you come up with an idea, and somebody says no. Because and so you don't think about saying, hey, let's get this idea and this idea and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And with children, well.
So with children, right, they understand, it's like an unwritten rule amongst all of them, that playing and having fun is the most or one of the most important things. Therefore, everything they're doing is kind of based on that. Would that be something like that be right?
Yeah, well, with all this talk, I'm starting to get a bit afraid of being an adult, if you forget all this.
Oh, yeah, no, don't, because you'll be great. See, this is the thing. Don't be afraid of being an adult. But maybe it's more helpful for you to see the way you don't have to be like that. And the reason I wanted to talk to you was so that you're helping other adults see also, hey, we don't need to be the way we've been. And we can learn a different way of being. See, we're not all bad. I mean, it's not this thing like, oh my God, adults, what a disaster area. No, it's not true. And there's lots of good things. But okay, it's like what you said before about you have a toy, right? But mm-hmm. then you wonder, how can you make it better? So what I'm saying, this is what we'd apply now to adults, okay? So we have these adults, but how can we make them better? How can we make them, if we're talking now, how can we make them more fun?
How can we make adults more fun?
Well, you see, by doing, even having a chat like this, you help adults to say, hey, I could do it this way. I could do it. I never thought of that. I never thought about taking it apart or changing the rules and doing it a different way. So just in having the discussion helps you to see things from a different angle.
Yeah. So, let's see. Well, if you want to change the way you do stuff, my mum's got a really unfun job, sitting in front of the computer and working out gas bills and stuff, which isn't really fun, but say being a swimming teacher, well, that's been kind of fun because you get to play with the children and know what they do and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and with working out bills, that's just sitting in front of the computer, writing down stuff and sorting out stuff and also with the swimming teacher, you don't need to do much of that work.
So what you're saying is how you base, you know, what you want to do when you're older is, and of course, you know, what things matter to you, what do you like, what interests you. And so that's, you don't need to be afraid of growing up. You just remember always what matters to you. So actually, that's what I'd say to you now. If I had to ask you, what matters to you? What matters to you in your life now, Zach?
Well, having fun, which I told you, being creative, thinking about what I really want to do, in my bucket list, and
what's your bucket list?
That's what you want to do in your life.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
Okay, so okay, let me see. I talked to a friend of mine who I've done some of these chats with, and I asked him if he had a question, and he wanted me to ask you that when you play alone,
mm-hmm.
right? He wanted me to ask, where do you go in your head when you're playing alone? Do you understand that question?
Yes. Well, I go into imagination. So I think about what to do with it. So adults still will half have this. So I think about what to do with it, and so I, and then so I start saying, "Oh, hey, look at this," and I, well, so then, so this is when I'm building Lego. So I think about what to do with it. I put everything together, and then I start thinking, "Hey, this is coming along good. Should we put this part here and this part here?" And then, yeah. So I'm basically going into imagination.
So you're very, say for instance with Lego, you're very, very connected with what you're doing. You're so focused on when you're building Lego, when you're creating, you're so inside that world. Is that
Yeah.
right? So that things out. So in that sense, that's when the outside world kind of disappears, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And
So.
okay, so this is something else. I don't know if you have you heard of introverts and extroverts?
Introverts.
Well, okay, there's the idea that there's kind of two kinds of people in the world. There are the people. There are people who are more happy to be inside themselves. They feel more comfortable in that world that we just mentioned. And then the extroverts are the people who are more happy in the outside world, being with other people and playing. Right? So what I kind of want to say to you is, for me anyway, I think that inside world, it's as real as the outside world. How does that feel for you?
Well, with the inside world, well, inside world, it's is real. It's real in your imagination. And with the inside world, also you can change it sometimes.
And how important is it to go into the inside world for you?
Well, I don't know how to explain,
Be
but
like if you couldn't.
if I couldn't, well, that definitely would not be good. No, if I couldn't, I'd be really angry.
Wow.
Not angry, but really frustrated.
So what do you what okay.
Couldn't decide.
So what do you get from the inside world then? What's it like for you?
From the inside world, you get creativity. Imagination, play sometimes.
It's the inside world in a way. It's kind of a lot like, well, it's kind of like work, but not a bad work.
Yeah, good work.
It's good work, isn't it? It's very you go in there for a reason, and you move things around, and you play with things, and you put things together in different ways, and you do that. But you do that, I think, pretty much so that you can take what you've got there and bring it into the outside world.
Yeah. So that's what you do. So let's think. So if you did it in the, in, well, there's some things you can, some things you can't. It's like things that are way beyond reach, but that is imagination, and that's what we think. So let's say walking on the sun. That is way beyond reach. You cannot really do that in probably in about another century, or we probably just won't be able to do it in a very long time. So and with some things like let's say planting a circle of trees. That's possible. You just go and buy a few tree seeds and plant a circle of trees.
Mm-hmm.
Building a mini tree house up in the tree, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Just get some planks of wood and nail it together.
Mm-hmm.
So little things like that, that's also kind of imagination.
Okay, but then yes, like you say, so then, but then it gets a time where it's not possible, and then you use the imagination to, you kind of feel it and make it as real as you can in your mind. But then, even then, sometimes you can make it, or it might give you an idea to make something else. But mostly the reason that you use your mind is so that you can bring it out and put it into the real world. It's like they're a team. The inside world is a team. They're a team, inside, outside world. They're meant to work together.
Mm-hmm. I guess they just haven't found each other yet.
Hmm. Maybe we are the place where they get found. You know, maybe human beings are, because, so maybe the inside world and the outside world, the only way they ever can meet is in us.
Yeah. So if you want to put it to life, you're going to have to do, well, say I'm walking on the sun, you're going to have to do a lot of thinking and studying. And yeah, but with people like my sister, you actually think you can do it, but because you don't know much about life yet, you haven't learnt.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to school and learn more and more. So I learned that you can't walk on the sun, obviously, but my sister, so I guess imagination is when you haven't, when you've like not got much of an idea of what life is like. So yeah, I guess that's why adults don't really know what life is, what fun is. Or
well, there's another side to that, saying that you can get too much information, and when you've got too much information, your imagination doesn't work anymore because you are overloaded with information. So do you remember when we talked once, and we talked about, you said about how you have to have room in your mind. Do you remember? In order to create something new, sometimes you have to empty out some of your mind.
Yeah. And with emptying out your mind, you probably don't know, but I can't really explain how you empty out your mind. Sometimes you have to do it. Sometimes you just have to forget about it and think it up sometime else. And, yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of different ways. So apparently writing things down can be quite good, because adults, their minds get blocked up very quickly, whereas I think because children are playing and doing so many different things, they're kind of emptying their mind and then filling it back up again quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
With different ideas, whereas adults can get a bit more, and I think part of that can be is that we have too much information put inside us. So it's like that sheet of paper that you talked about. It gets so full up with information that there's no blank spaces for us to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something that's, I remember you saying that if you have lots of things in your mind, for instance, you know, you've got to do your homework and just something you want to watch on TV, and you've got to set the table for dinner, and your mind is too full, you will go and do one of those things or two of those things to take that out of your mind so that you've got space to think.
Yeah. So you need filling your brain up with things and emptying it out, that's exercising it.
Yes, okay. Okay? Yeah.
And if you do one or two of those things, and say you think of something else to do, then you might do another thing, but you don't then you don't know what thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you've got lots of different things, and do you get like that sometimes?
Yeah.
And so how do you decide what you will do?
Well, I do some of the things, and I forget some, and will put them into a part of my mind when I've got nothing on my mind. So I just think and think and think, and then suddenly that idea pops back up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep.
Okay.
So, and sometimes I do the idea. And if it's like something that I really have to do, I might do it and then, yeah.
I was wondering too, I was looking at one of the notes I had here, talking about like when your mind gets really, really full and then trying to empty it, and that the note I hear about building things and breaking things apart. So whether that's a kind of a bit like that with your mind. So you build it up with so many different things that you have to do or ideas or whatever, but then you also need to break it apart or empty it out. Because it seems to, there's only so much your mind can take, and then it's too full. And I think, again, with adults, that's one of the places that we get stuck. We get too much in our minds, and then we don't know how to empty it out. We don't understand about that. We keep thinking about all the things in our head. We do so much thinking. How much thinking would you say that you do? Because I think when you're playing, maybe say with your friends and that, you're not thinking then, are you?
Well, most of the times I'm not thinking. But sometimes I'm thinking.
You mean when you play?
Yep, sometimes.
How much of your life do you spend thinking?
Well, let's say about half. Maybe about. Well, maybe half of it.
Okay, and with your thinking?
Well, a little bit less than half.
Okay, now, so with, say, my thinking, often it can be, maybe I'm worrying about, when I'm not, so I like writing and I like doing research, so a lot of my time is just totally absorbed in that, and I love it. But other times, if I'm not doing that, then my thinking might often be worrying about something. So how do you worry much, or what do you use your thinking for?
Well, thinking about good things and what to do and new things and
yeah, so you're not worry is not really in there, is it? You're using your mind for what you can do in the future. Something would that sort of explain it? For what you can do next, for what you might like to do?
Yep, that. Yeah, now, well, I guess, researching, that's, that is, also, what kids like to do, they like to find out about things, but,
So what I'm seeing here, right, as far as thinking goes, is that you use it in a very positive way. And it seems to be pretty much focused on now what you might like to do now, or what you might like to do or would like to create in the future. So do you spend much time thinking about the past, what's happened before?
Well, if it's good things, yes, I usually think about it. If it's bad things, no, not really.
Now, why is that? Why do you not think of bad things in the past? How do you do that? Zach, how do you do that?
Well, how I don't do that, well, that's also sometimes a little bit hard for me. Well, the time I broke my leg, I was playing soccer and then I broke it. That was a painful time and I don't like thinking about it. Well, like now I'm thinking about it, but I don't like thinking about it. So I usually spend a lot of time, a lot of time thinking about other good stuff. That's how I do it. And just playing and creating, and it just usually drowns away.
Wow, I wish I could. So, it makes me now, when you talk about it like that, right, it's so obvious. So I'm thinking, why on earth would adults spend so much time thinking about things that hurt them, which a lot of adults do? Whereas you have this, that hurt, I'm not going to think about that. You know, that time that hurt me, why on earth would I want to remember that? Which is completely sane and sensible.
With adults, say they get hurt. Well, my sister's a bit naughty. She always hits, my mum sometimes. I don't know why they wouldn't think about it. I don't know how they don't. Well, usually they don't have much things to think about. To say work, it's a good thing and a bad thing. You get money, and it also spends up a lot of your time. And yeah, and I don't really know.
No, it's like we don't, and but as you talk, just, and it should be so obvious, why on earth, do adults spend so much time thinking about things that don't feel good when, and I think, it kind of thinking it must come back to what matters to you, right? So what matters to children, and this is always, what matters to them is fun. Doing things that make them feel good, that they enjoy, that, yeah, that. So that is to them the number one thing. Therefore, that's like their rule. That's like their number one rule. Things that make me feel good are the most important thing in the world. So somewhere it looks like adults lost that, that we lost that kind of our number one thing got changed. And if that was our number one thing, then perhaps there's no way we could spend all the time that we do worrying about stuff, because that would just go against, it goes against life to do that.
It does.
So in a sense, I say children, their number one rule is life.
How do I put this? The number one thing is living the life, because they actually don't have to worry about many things. That's it. Whereas an adults have to worry about their business, their
But would you do it, Zach? Would you do it that way? Okay, say you could be an adult now, and you've got a job, you've got a business. Would you now think I'd better start worrying about things? Or how would you run your business? How would you live your life?
Well, I would not have a business. I would have a business that's, not making me drown out most of my life. Being a Lego designer, that's still, you still get most of the creativity. And that's one of the things that I really want to be when I grow up. So I'd be like that. I still have creativity. I would get paid sometimes. I wouldn't need to worry much about anything, but I don't really know what an adult has to worry about, because I am not one. So I just wouldn't spend most of my time worrying about things when you could just, when you've got, say you're about to go to bed, and it would be when you don't work. I wouldn't start worrying about things. And yeah, I don't worry about anything until Monday.
Okay, yeah. So you,
Mom.
even if you had to worry, you'd put it off till the last possible moment until you needed to worry. You wouldn't do it when you didn't need to. And instead, you would be doing things. So see, that's something else I notice with children. They will take every last second to have fun. Even if it was just like 5 minutes before bedtime, they got, well, they take every minute of that and use it.
Yep, I take every minute of it and try and sneak some more in. So yeah, say it was well 10 more minutes until I had to leave for my friend's house. I'd do the same thing. Sneak every possible second playing and sneak some more in.
Yeah, and oh no, it just makes so much sense. It's like we've just got this one thing. So you've got this word play, which it's almost like a dirty word for adults because, I went looking on the internet once to see, and it seemed like when children got to 12 years old, they stopped using the word play. Then they were teenagers and they weren't meant to play anymore. So somehow the world is trying to tell people that once you get to a teenage years, you stop playing, and it's just so much rubbish. So you never let anyone tell you that it's time to stop playing. Okay, Zach, you never. That's all you need to know to be a happy adult. So we have this word play, but we don't really understand it. We use it, but we don't understand it. Is there anything that you could say? And what we'll do is that this is what we'll finish on, okay? Let's finish with trying to explain play, trying to, in whatever ways possible, to. Can you tell us what play means to you? Because so many adults want to think, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. Instead of understanding that it's like breathing.
Well, it's not as important as breathing, but it is a lot important. It is really important. If you couldn't breathe, then you wouldn't be able to play because you would obviously be, well, dead.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be as important as breathing. But so
Okay, so I'll ask you this. So, if you don't breathe for a few minutes, you'll be dead, right? So, how long could you go without playing before it got dangerous?
Let's say about a week.
So a whole week without playing.
Yeah, then it would get really boring.
What do you think might happen to you? What do you think might happen? Say something happened and there was a whole week went by and you couldn't play, and it wasn't looking like you were going to be able to play again. What would happen to you? How would it be like?
I would just, I can't explain it, it's really horrible. I, well,
Is there something else that's horrible you can think of that it would be like?
let's see, well, if I knew how I couldn't, how I couldn't stop playing, that would help. But I don't know how I couldn't stop playing. I might, well,
So you were locked away in a you were in a tunnel that had collapsed, and so you couldn't get out, and you're just there. And so you're there for a week, and you could be there for who knows how longer. So you got food, but you just there's hardly any room, and Although I guess even in that circumstance, you'd probably start playing with the bricks and the mud and everything, wouldn't you? So that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I think with children, no matter what you put them in, they must start playing again. In the same way that, you know, when you build a sandcastle at the beach, and you, or you build a big wall of sand, but the water keeps coming in and it just knocks it down. Even no matter how big you make your wall of sand, the water has to come in and it will knock it down. And it seems to me for children that's what plays. Play is like the water. Mm-hmm. And it will just, it has to come, it has to flow. Mm-hmm. Could you say that, that play is like as big as the sea?
Yes, it is. And it can never stop. Well, until you don't know what play means. What? But you can still understand what it means, but with most people, you don't really know.
Yeah. So I think with the talk today, it's trying to, if people understand even better what play means and how it's, and I love that picture, you know, so if we say that play is as big as the sea, you know, imagine if you changed it, you know, and the sea equals play. It's that powerful, it's that strong, you can't stop it. So in that sense, maybe adults get ill just because they try to stop the play, they try to stop the sea from flowing, and you can't do it. No. They try to build these big sand walls, and they just get ill just trying to, and to not understand that you have to let play flow like the sea has to flow. And the children know that. Mm-hmm. And you would never even try and stop it. You run to the sea.
Mm-hmm. So, say you get to, let's say, 79, and you retire your job, you don't do it anymore, but you'd still have to pay some bills and stuff, and but you wouldn't have to worry about much. So then you start getting a bit bored, but you still know what. But then you start remembering what play means.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't worry about anything much, and whereas in when you're like an adult, you worry about your job, you worry about the house bills, you worry about getting your kids to school, you worry about this, you worry about that, and yeah.
So it almost seems as if worry is the opposite of play.
Well, quite the opposite. They've got a little bit in common, which is, well, with worry, I don't know much about that, but with play, well, they've just got something in common.
Okay. It could be like the amount of attention or the amount of because people, it's almost like adults get into worry as much as children get into play.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Ah, okay. Wow. Maybe you can't have one. You can only have one. You can only have this one. You can only have play or worry at any one time.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So really, we just need everyone to start playing, eh?
Yeah.
So shall we finish, Zach? We'll finish this chat, and that's what we're going to tell people?
Yeah.
Okay, go on, you tell them. Tell them they have to start playing.
Okay. And everybody has to start playing.
And no, I agree. And, okay, so because most of us adults are really, really stupid, give us a few hints on how to start playing again, Zach. Remind us how to start playing.
Don't worry about everything so much. Jam as much stuff when you've got time into, and just keep playing.
Brilliant. Okay. So I'm going to turn this off now, Zach.
Okay.
And so thank you so much for coming on today.
Okay.
And I'll let you know as soon as I've got this the show up, and then you can let your parents have a listen.
Right.
And I just thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
So, bye.
See ya.